Phil Hendry Show. This abortion is nationally syndicated.
Dodger baseball is on the air from beautiful Dodger Stadium. Hello, everybody. This is Ross Porter along with Rick Monday. What a beautiful day for baseball. Clouds are in the sky, probably about a 90% chance of rain. And we'll maybe have the tarp on the field here as the Dodgers going to try to get up off the mat after losing a few on the road to the Giants. And certainly not playing the kind of baseball that everybody wants them to play. So they've got a big exhibition game here this afternoon against a team of famous Republican homosexuals. And that's going to be great, isn't it, Rick?
No doubt about that. This is a very formidable team of fags that they're going up against here. And we'll be giving you the lineups.
First, I want to tell you, Dodger Baseball is brought to you by Pork, the other white meat. And by Madonna, also the other white meat.
Well, here's the lineups. Here's, what's his name? Ross Porter.
Thanks a lot, Rick. Well, leading off for the famous Republican homosexual team, some real queers here. Leading off and playing first base, J. Edgar Hoover. And batting second and catching, G. Gordon Liddy. Batting third in center field, Richard Nixon. Cleaning up will be Jesse Helms. And batting fourth, batting fifth, and playing in left field, a real fag, John Wayne. And also we have their batting sixth and catching, Rudy Giuliani. Catching is Strom Thurmond. You'll be surprised to know out there pitching this afternoon is Mary Madeline. And, of course, always one of our favorite catchers, Ken Starr. For the Dodgers, the lineup of Devon White, Gary Sheffield, E.P. Depp, Chess, Henry Gatswam, Zach, Alex Carrot, Eric Carrot, Derek Harrison, Todd Huntley, and another guy by the name of Darren Dreaver. That's time for Dodger baseball. All the play-by-play, here's Rick Monday. Rick?
Well, thanks a lot, Ross, and everybody. Welcome to Dodger Stadium. The Dodgers take on this team of famous Republican fags, and leading off is J. Edgar Hoover. J. Edgar Hoover, he drilled one to right last night in his first time at bat last evening, so that was fantastic. So J. Edgar Hoover up the plate. Here's the windup, and the first pitch swung on. That's a ground ball down the right field line. Whoa. Just went behind the first base coach. And...
That was fag references, huh?
No doubt about it. So J. Edgar Hoover there is got 0-1 on him. Doesn't have any balls on him yet. But it is no balls. And one strike.
I'll tell you, J. Edgar Hoover, you'd never know the guy's a fag, would you?
Not at all. They used to dress up in chicks' clothing, stuff like that. All right, here's the windup. The next pitch to J. Edgar Hoover. Swung on. There's a long drive up there. He really banged that one. Off the wall. And he rounds into second base. He slid into second. And he's got himself a stand-up double.
Well, he slides into second. How can it be a stand-up double?
So, J. Edgar Hoover slid into second. And that'll put him on second base there with nobody out. And that'll bring up G. Gordon Liddy. And G. Gordon Liddy, I notice he's out there playing center field his first time in that position. So, as he was out there, he called to one of the equipment men. Here's the first pitch. Swung on and just outside. Ball one, even though he swung on it.
Well, that's the whole thing about G. Gordon Liddy. He swings, doesn't he?
Yeah, he swings at a lot of bad pitches. So to continue the story, G. Gordon Liddy, with only one ball on him, he was out there in center field, and he was oiling up his glove.
Yeah, it's because you told me he hadn't been in that position before.
That's right. And I think he's really used to it now, though, so I think he's going to slide into that position very nicely. Here's the windup in the next pitch. Swung on. And Sturman out there to right field. Running over there, Devon White. Coming around third base is G. Gordon Lynn, or rather, J. Edgar Hoover. J. Edgar Hoover slides into home. And he's safe. And with a stand-up double there is G. Gordon Liddy. So right off the bat, the Dodgers are really banged for a couple of big hits there as the famous Republican homosexual team has one run in, and that's courtesy of J. Edgar Hoover and G. Gordon Liddy. And I can see down there in the on-deck circle, Richard Nixon was rubbing some rosin on his back in anticipation of really touching up Darren Dreyfus today. And I mean touching him up, because I'll tell you, those two big hits really have gotta hurt.
No doubt about it. It's really got to be painful when you're drilled that way.
So that'll bring up Richard Nixon. In the on-deck circle is Jesse Helms. Jesse Helms in the on-deck circle there. And with Richard Nixon at the plate, standing tall, very erect, kind of waving that bat. Has a very open stance, doesn't he?
And bat, and he's showing the pitcher a lot.
Here's the windup of the pitch to Richard Nixon. Swung on. Look at that. A long, deep, hard drive into center field. She's gone. All the way up there. From Richard Nixon. So the Republican fags lead this ball game 2-3-0. They touch them all with that big hit there from Richard Nixon. So Jesse Helms is up, and so far the Dodgers not showing us much here. Hey, Ross?
Well, that's right, Rick.
Okay, thanks a lot for that comment. I don't really care. Now, up to bat, John Wayne. The mere mention of his name brings to mind a lot of things. Okay, John Wayne is at the plate. Jesse Helms, who I think Jesse Helms is sitting on someone's back, right? I mean, I didn't mean to hit that, I meant.
That's right, yeah. Jesse Helms is over there on that bag there.
So that'll bring up John Wayne as Jesse Helms is on second base. Rudy Giuliani is in the on-deck circle. I'll tell you, I saw John Wayne in a ball game yesterday as they were playing the Cardinals, and he was pounding it into the stands there.
No doubt about that, as John Wayne certainly brings a lot of lumber to this game.
Well, he is up there, and John Wayne, when you look at him, he swings a big bat. Here's the wind-up of the pitch. Ooh, look at that! Big, long, hard foul ball. All right, so it's 0-1.
Do you say foul ball?
All right, that's one ball and no strikes. Sorry, just one ball on John Wayne. Yesterday he was up, he had two balls on him.
Yeah, no, I just saw Jesse Helms had three balls on him. What a freak, huh?
Oh, real queer, that Jesse Helms. One of the great fags. All right, and that brings up John Wayne now. Here's the windup, the pitch to John Wayne. Swung on a high, long, hard, lengthy drive in a deep center field. Back up to one right, away back to the wall. Home run. Okay, he's rounding the bags. And it looks like he got a home run, so that'll make it 4-0.
Touching them all.
That's right, he's touching all of them. As John Wayne now has hit a home run, and the Republican homosexuals, the famous Republican fags, are in the lead 4-0.
Well, I'll tell you, who'd ever thunk it, huh? Who'd ever thunk it?
Yeah, thanks a lot, Casey. Jesus, get out of here and get me a beer, will you?
I'll tell you, this game is 90% mental, and the other half is physical. And it's not a... Ow!
Get out of here. All right, that'll bring up Rudy Giuliani with nobody on, 4-0 here, as the Dodgers, I'll tell you, the famous Republican homosexuals have really put them in a hole.
That's right. Say, fans, don't forget, in the seventh inning stretch, go behind home plate there, the food stand behind home plate, they've got some delicious corn dogs, and it can really fill up that hole in your stomach. So go get those corn dogs behind home plate, and I'll tell you what, nothing about filling up that hole in your stomach.
Here's the wind of the pitch to Rudy Giuliani. There you go, and there's another hit.
Oh, you can't can't keep a good fag down, can you?
No, there's a long drive out there, and it's a home run. I'll tell you, these famous Republican homosexuals have got the Dodgers on their backs. We'll take time out after this word from Kiefer Sutherland, the other white meat. On the Dodger Radio Network, this is the Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Anyway, thank you for sitting through that. And, you know, we're just kidding about those people being homosexual. I don't have any knowledge. I don't even really have any specific knowledge of J. Edgar Hoover, only what I read in a Vanity Fair article. But I will tell you this, I'm not even so sure that it is a negative thing to say someone is a homosexual because it is legally protected status in the United States. So while slander probably consists of saying something untrue about someone, I'm not so sure that is the kind that is a, it can be provable that calling someone a homosexual is necessarily negative or defames one's character. But I suppose it depends on where you drink or where you hang out. But in any event, we were just joking about all those guys. They're great. They're not fags at all. By the way, we're kidding about using the word fag. Okay, so the kids at my house, just give you an update on my children and their video games. They're playing one now where they try to run a cop car off the road. And I objected to this, and they looked at me like, well, what are you talking about? I said, I'm not sure I like you guys playing a video game where you're trying to kill a cop. Well, we're not trying to kill a cop, they tell me. We're just trying to run him off the road because he's chasing us. We're undercover cops, but he doesn't know that we're undercover. I said, you know, that's bull crap. That's bogus. And I don't want you guys playing. So far, I've been ignored. See, I don't know. These guys spend a lot of their time in front of PlayStation, Nintendo, and the Dreamcast. They have all three. Their time in front of these games is limited, but they do play in front of these games. And I walk in on them the other morning, because Saturday morning's when it really gets cranking around there, like early, like 7:30, 8 o'clock. Before Marie or I are up, these guys are in there, they're playing the Nintendo, because they know this is the only time they're going to have an opportunity to do it. And I walked in. I said, what is this? This is this cop game, isn't it? Yeah, because I'd found out about it when you guys were telling me about it going to school. Apparently they'd said to me, there's a really cool game we play, and you can turn around and crash into the cop. Anyway, make a long story short, I said, I don't like you guys playing this game. Now, Maria walked in and said, what's wrong? I said, you know something? It bothers me that they're playing a game where you kill a cop or you wreck a cop car. Now, I understand this is America and there's freedom of speech and you can do anything you want. But I think when you're 10, guess what? You got to do what I tell you to do. Now, the mom comes in, mommy, and says, well, you know. I said, what do you mean, well, you know? I don't dig the game. I don't think they should be playing it. Well, it's tough. You don't have any say in it. I do. I'm their mother. And you're going to, you know what, honey? She says to me, it's no big thing. The kids aren't really cop killers. I know that they're not. I know that they're not going to grow up to be that. But it just reinforces a certain cavalier attitude. But I got voted down on that thing. You know, I was told that you have no say in it and they're going to continue. So, you know what I did? It was kind of funny. I went downstairs and got the butt end of a pool cue and I drove it through the TV screen accidentally. Oh, gee, I'm sorry. Right when they were about ready to waste the cop, I just, oh, God, you know. Well, what are you doing upstairs with a pool cue? I forgot where I put the pool table. Well, isn't it up here? And I just came around again, and I gutted the entire 47-inch TV set with the butt end of the pool cue. And, well, what are we going to do now? We can watch downstairs on your TV, can't we? Well, God, no, you can't, because in between shooting pool, I'm also going to be checking QVC. So that TV's taken up. See, that's how you do it. When something's going on, I'm the stepdad. I'm the lowest guy on the totem pole. Mom makes the decisions. So really, you know, what I have to say about it, she'll take it under advisement. She'll take it under advisement, but she knows what's best, and Maria probably does. I mean, I'm not second-guessing her at all. It bugs me. Just bugs me. It's one of those things that bugs me.
Look, I don't have to be right down the... What, because I'm a liberal Democrat, I got to be down with, like, wasting cops in a video game? It bothers me. I don't give a crap about ramparts or any crooked cop there is out there. Fact of the matter, and there's a lot of them, I know, and believe you me, I wanted the book thrown... I wanted it thrown at all them cats. All those guys. Drop them down a hole. However... when it comes to just some schmuck out there in a black and white trying to do his job, and I got my kids sitting there, fat and happy and sassy, and just fresh and fully packed from the Wango Tango and limo rides, and, you know, their custom-made waffles in the morning and all of the other, and their private schools, now they're sitting there in front of a TV on a Saturday morning with a, isn't this cool, I'm going to turn around and wreck this cop car. Well, that's when I come upstairs with my pool cue and go to work. So I snuck downstairs... After I'd been voted down, and I grabbed a pool cue, and I walked upstairs, and walked, and they're like, get out of the way, you're in the, oh, Jesus, oh, no, the TV is smashed, oh, well, how long before we can get a new one? Pretty soon, a couple of months. Wow, did I wreck the TV? I'm sorry. One time I was kind of, something they were watching, I didn't dig it. And, you know, Maria voted me down on that one. And I think what they were watching, oh, for the 18th time, they were watching Armageddon. For the 18th consecutive time, they were watching Armageddon. So, you know what I did? I went downstairs. My satellite dish is mounted knee high right off of a room behind my house. All I got to do is stand in front of it. So I stood in front of my watering flowers, and the window opens up, and I hear, hey, what the heck is going on out there anyway? You trying to mess me up or something? Why? What's wrong?
No, I can't see the normal thing.
You can't see what?
Armageddon.
Oh, I don't know. I'm,
You're standing in front of the satellite thing, are you?
No, I'm watering. Just watering flowers.
All right. Well, if you see anybody down there, you want to know about it?
Yeah, sure. I'll let you guys know about it. Jeez, that's too bad. I hope you get it fixed. I'd hate to deprive you of seeing Armageddon for the 19th time.
Yeah, it sucks.
I know.
Bye.
Bye. Dirty little. So I stood in front of the satellite dish, messed up the movie, and eventually they wandered downstairs. This is how you torture kids, and it doesn't really warp them. It's good for them. You torture them. It's just, it was bugging me, okay? There they were, watching Armageddon. How many times do you want to see a bad, truly bad movie like that? Truly, it's truly bad. I mean, there can't be anybody out there you really dug that flick. You want to know what's bad with that movie? It's so much the special effects. It's the constant nonstop soundtrack with it. And the nonstop, that one nonstop scene on the asteroid where all hell is breaking loose and the lander comes crashing towards Bruce Willis and just misses him. And you're asking yourself, this is an asteroid traveling through space at literally thousands of miles an hour. It's impossible. It's freaking impossible!
What are you talking to yourself down there?
Nothing. It's Phil Henry's show at 1-800-449-8686. By the way, we've sold $134,000 worth of the Phil Henry Best of the 1999 Phil Henry CD. How about that? Long Beach on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello, this is Bill.
Yes, Bill.
Yeah, I have a son that's been in a chair.
Oh, God,
for
we're going to hear from all these people. I'm
for
talking
9 years.
About one,
now, will you listen to me, lady?
Well,
just
everybody's
one
calling in
you
with their Crip story.
Well, you just lace. What is this Crip? What are you talking about?
The CRIPPLED.
Well, I'm telling you something. You shouldn't refer him to that for number one. You don't know what put people in a chair. And I want to tell you about a level of injury. My son's a C6 level. He's a quadriplegic, but he can use his arms.
Does he sing
and
dance?
Just a minute. He does not use an electric chair or anything. He uses his arms. He has 70% of his breath, his capacity of his lungs. He can drink. He can laugh. He's a good person. He works a full job. He has 300 people working for him, lady.
Now, wait a second.
And he earns a living, and he's in a wheelchair,
does
and he
sing
has not
drinking
just a
songs?
Minute. You be quiet.
Does he sing
you
drinking songs?
Don't know what you're talking about.
Let
you
the man
no
finish, okay? What do you mean, does he...
what you're talking about.
Does he sing drinking songs?
What does that
sure
mean?
Sure he does. He sings any kind of song he wants because he's a person.
So he's in a barroom hoisting a mug.
He's a person with a life, lady.
Well, I find that
and
hard to believe.
Just because he broke his neck doesn't make him what you're talking, pulling somebody out of their chair. You should be ashamed of yourself.
Well, the woman was
you
faking it.
You should be put in jail.
She was faking it.
And you should be sued because you're a nobody.
I'm a nobody.
And you have got me mad. I'm
I used the
what,
veranda room
son,
at the Sand
seven,
Dollar.
9 years in a chair. And I'm telling you what, he's an admirable person.
Well, what
person.
Did he do wrong?
He dove off a boat and broke his neck,
oh,
lady.
Oh, that's real smart.
Oh, come on,
you
will
you?
You
are
have
a
some
pitiful person.
God.
You are pitiful,
well,
lady.
I'm not diving off of a boat. And it,
I know that, but the young man,
pitiful.
He made a mistake.
Get
for
a life, will
what are you doing, Margaret? I mean, the kid made a mistake. Are people not allowed to make
that's
mistakes?
That's not a mistake. It's something that happened. There was a sandbar there that he hit.
Okay, yes.
And instantly he was ruined for life. But, boy, he made something out of himself.
Diving off of a boat, darling, is not very smart.
Oh, you
will
are
you
an idiot. You need your head examined,
what?
Lady.
I wasn't the one
you
diving.
Up. I don't.
Well,
I don't
I
want to talk
never,
to you anymore.
I've never in my
I'm
life been spoken
here
to this
because
way.
You are a problem person,
Margaret. The point that we're trying to make here is this man's son is happy. He sings. He is an employer. Correct, sir.
Yes, sir.
And he does all of the things that you say. You know, the handicapped people can't do. And
well, I've never seen one of the CRIPPLED.
Oh, will you quit spelling it out, okay? We know what you're talking about. Thank you, sir, for your call.
Phil Hendry's Flashback.
So I think that this show that you're listening to, the Phil Hendry Show, is really rather brilliant, wouldn't you? The way that we're able to conduct and to effect the things that we do. And I'm sorry if it's not real for some people. I apologize if it is not the kind of real radio that you like to listen to. I know that there are many who have complained that what we present on the Phil Hendry Show, the now nationally syndicated Phil Hendry Show, is an offering that is contrived. Many have complained about that. Now, I don't hear anybody accusing Steven Spielberg when he, for instance, created E.T. of being contrived. I didn't hear anybody saying that Jaws was contrived. I didn't hear anybody talking about how Shakespeare in Love was contrived. But this show, some people consider to be contrived. Well, in many ways, the real heart of the problem is we do a stunning radio program of great artistry. It blows a lot of people's minds. It is almost impossible to duplicate and, you know, in other words, rip off, which is the métier of many people in this business, just lifting material from other people. And so it's frustrating. And we want to say that we're very sorry. We're just so very sorry that it isn't the meat and potatoes of talk radio, which is reality. Well, I'm here to tell you that what you think is reality on your average talk radio program is not reality at all. It's just every bit as contrived, if not more so, than the worst Mother Goose fairy tale. And if you think the host that you're listening to on any talk show you can name, you name anyone, if you think that that guy or woman is telling you the truth or really feels what they're... I'm going to tell you something. I have got bridges, swamps, large tracts of desert land, beachfront property in Utah. I got it all going on that I would love to talk to you about. If you think that those programs are, in a case in point, real and the opinion of the host is real. Because they're not. But just me telling you about it isn't going to be enough. You're just going to have to learn. So when we hear the criticism of our program that, well, you know, it's not real, it's fake. Well, you know, we're so sorry. We're sorry. Daddy's sorry you're not getting your talk radio. But you know what? I've got, let's see, I can care or not care. I think I'm not going to care. I think I don't care whether you get your information or not. I think I don't care whether your opinion is heard or not. I just don't care about your opinion. I don't. You're not interesting. I'm interesting. You're not. Well, how dare you say that, Phil? Well, I'm the guy on this side of the microphone getting the money. I'm being paid to do this. Obviously, I'm more interesting than you. If you were more interesting than me, then I'd have you on the air doing your thing. But you're not. You're not funny. You're not interesting. I am. Therefore, I can't put your opinion on the air because it's boring. My opinion is not. So what I endeavor to do is create a little theatricality here. Now, you guys who know the show, you know what I'm talking about. Those of you who don't and you want it dropped in your lap, you know what? I'm not going to do it, okay? Go listen to somebody else. Please, do me a big favor. Get out of here. Don't come back. Don't ever darken our towels again. You know, because I don't have any sympathy for you. But if you're here just to, you know, for a couple of laughs, a couple of yucks, I guarantee you, you'll get it every day on this show. Every single day. Pound for pound, as funny a program as anything that's on the air. But, you know, that's my opinion, of course. And if you don't happen to concur, you can piss off. Who cares? It's only a radio show. I'm still going to go home and make love to my wife and play with my stepkids and jump into the big mud hole in the backyard and, you know, count my dollars. Not that I have all that many. But this claptrap about the show being contrived, yeah, what about it? What about it? Well, but you don't have any real issues. What do you mean real issues? The issues we talk about on this show are realer than anything else out there. Now, if I got to explain that, if I have to, I did an interview with a guy says to me,
what do you say, Mr. Henry, when people don't get your show?
I said, let me think. The other day I had a guy on who said that he was looking at a good-looking chick getting out of a T-Bird and needed to masturbate so furiously that he stuck it in a knot hole in a fence and now is suing the plumber's putty company because their lubricant isn't, you know, good enough. I said, you got to be putting me on. You're going to listen to 15 minutes of that? And what are you going to think?
Well, I think it's funny.
Well, there you go. And he says to me, but some people don't get it. I said, fine, they're not people that I necessarily want to hang around with. Are you telling me that I have to hang around with those people? Well, no, you don't have to hang around. But aren't you aware that some people get it? Yeah, and there's some people locked up in a nut house. And there's some people that walk in front of buses. And there's some people that, you know, use phone booths a lot, even though we have cellular phones. There's some people that live under bridges. There's some people that push shopping carts. There's all kinds of some people. What's that got to do with anything? You know, there's some people that don't get your show. There's some people that walk up and down the street here wearing those big multicolored fright wigs with, you know, selling flowers. I don't know how that has anything to do with reality or what, you know, or my program. I do my show for the overwhelming majority of people. And it's kind of frustrating to have to explain that. It really honestly is. But I've heard people say to me more than once, you know, there's some people just don't get what you do. How about the 90% who do? How about them? What about those guys? Are they entitled to be heard from? Or do we have to stop everything down and for the little 10% of nebbishes out there who've been, you know, listening to their talk radio for 40 years and they get this, you know, real opinionated host there really cares about what he's saying. It's all a load of crud. You know, and then they get Phil Henry coming up here and screwing with their mind. I got to come out there and explain what I'm doing because these poor sorry saps, they don't get it. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now. This show's a funny show, funnier than anything that's on. And if I get the first question I get out of any reporter is, what do you say about the people who don't get your show? Whatever. You've heard me. I'm not pulling any punches here. I've commented on Comb Over Boy.
You know, the way he talks like this and thinks so highly of himself.
I mean, you know, it's one thing to think highly of yourself when you got the goods, you got the talent, you got the material, like me. It's another thing to just sit there and gas bag it all day long when you ain't got no show. That's Comb Over Boy. No show. I'm sitting here beating my brains out trying to give people something different to listen to, and I get people saying to me, what do you say to people don't get it? Well, you better start getting it, because this is the wave, baby. This is it, the wave of the future. On second thought, no, it isn't, because I'm going to die someday. Then who's going to come along and do this? Craig Taylor's been taking notes. He may try it. Okay, that's all I got to say about that. We're going to take a few minutes. I'm going to go run through the sprinklers. And we'll be right back with information on internal herbal cleansing, stuff like that. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Okay, so this month's High Times has an ad in it for the urinator. It's not a drink or an additive. It's a reusable electronic device. This thing, if you need to drug test, basically will keep someone else's urine warm for you while you pack it somewhere in a bag in your pants. And essentially what you're doing is you're taking this thing, it has a maybe it has a bag on the other end of it, you know, and a tube that comes from it. It electronically heats the urine that you're packing, and then you pull this tube out of the fly of your pants, and you shoot the urine that you've got in the bag into this cup. Because what happens when you're being drug tested is many times they'll stand there in the room to see if you're peeing into the cup. But they're not going to look around to look directly down at your thing. They just, as long as you're standing with your legs slightly spread and your arm sort of down there as if you're, you know, near a urinal or something, they figure you're doing what they want you to do. Now comes the urinator. So you have this tube and it pees right into a cup for you. And it does the peeing, so you don't have to. To order, call, and then it gives a number. And I don't know, I was debating as to whether I had to give this number. And then I realized Craig already wrote it down, so who else needs it, okay? And then it says, visit our website. I'll give this address out, www.urinator.com. The urinator is a one-of-a-kind, state-of-the-art electronic device. It'll maintain testing temperature for 4 hours. It's reusable, reliable. In fact, nothing on the market can even touch it. There's a cottage industry for this, you realize. Nothing on the market can touch it, the urinator. You've seen the rest, now try the best. Nothing heats urine like this. What else is on the market? 100% guaranteed or your money back. Send check or money order, yada, yada, yada. THC test kit or urine sample with every urinator purchase. There's an ad for one in there that's near the back. Another one near the back. Oh, this ought to be good. What's this one? This is called the Wizinator 2000. And what you have here is they got a guy in a hard hat peeing into a stall and some nerdy-looking dumbass kind of scientist standing there with a clipboard. And the guy in the hard hat with the nail belt, you know, they're urine testing a lot of construction workers and truck drivers, so obviously this is aimed at those guys. He's got one over on the dock. Because he's using the undetectable, foolproof, and reusable Wizinator 2000. Anytime, anywhere, let it flow from Puck Technology. The Wizinator is an easy-to-conceal, easy-to-use urinating device with a realistic prosthetic penis. It's been extensively tested and proven to work under real-life conditions with absolutely no metal parts. The Wizinator is designed to be comfortably worn as an undergarment. For extended periods of time. Used with our organic heat pads, it is guaranteed to maintain body temperature for 8 hours. And our quality production and materials assures you that the Wizinator will let it flow again and again, anytime, anywhere you need it. So real, we can't show you the whole thing. See it all and a whole lot more at www.thewizinator.com. The Wizinator comes complete and ready for testing with a fully adjustable latex free elastic belt, sizes 28 to 52, 4 ounce vinyl bag, prosthesis, one sample of dehydrated toxin free urine, and four organic heat pads for only $149.95. $149.95 for the Wizinator. Now, that ain't anything you're going to see on TV with, you know, from, what is it, Ketel? Or Popeil? Ron Popeil presents the Wizinator. So this is a thing. It's got a realistic-looking prosthetic penis that you pull out of your pants so that if there's a nurse standing there, it'll look like you're really peeing your own urine into this cup. And the urine that you're packing in there, obviously a friend's or something, is staying room temperature. Because I'm given to understand that and I've never, and I'm telling you the truth, I have never tried to beat a drug test in my life. I've only had to take one, and I passed it, and I did it legally. That's when I worked for CBS in Minneapolis. For all of their rep, they're drug testing their people. Except for Mel Karmazin. So you pull out this realistic looking thing. It's rubber. It's the Wizinator. I had to go and take a drug test for this radio station I worked at in Minneapolis. And I can tell you, the station I worked at in Minneapolis, it would have been better that I had not taken that test. It would have been better if everybody on the air there used something, anything. The station was that horrible. I will not mention the call letters here. And the reason why I don't want to mention the call letters is because, first of all, there were some people there that I worked with that I really liked a lot. Overwhelmingly, the staff on that station tried to put a shank in my back so deep. And they just tried to drive it in there so deep that it was amazing. I couldn't believe what was happening to me. They tried to stick it right in there. They didn't want me on the air there. And so as a result, I had a very bad 1 year that I spent up there in the Twin Cities with all that friendly Minnesota bullcrap. Let me tell you something. There was nothing friendly about Minnesota. All that Minnesota nice, all that, you know, everybody's a real sweetheart. Forget it, baby. You can live for years on a street in that town. Nobody will ever knock on your door and say, hi, we're your next door neighbor. They're the very insular Scandinavians. There's nothing more insular, nothing colder, nothing less friendly than a Norwegian that's moved to America. Maybe in Norway they're great people, but once they get over here, they just hide out, man, and they prune their hedges, and they go inside and make a covered dish, and they hope to God they don't have to have you knocking on their door. So I spent a year there. It would have been better had I been dropping acid speed, smoking hash, all kinds of ganja, whatever. It would have been, and the whole staff on that radio station would have benefited from it. But as it was, they just spent the whole year driving it hard and deep. Into my back. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.